And this is the Age Group Multisport Podcast with me, Richard Conway. This is a platform for age group multisport athletes to showcase their journeys. Welcome along to another episode of AMP. Thank you once again for taking your time out to listen to the podcast. Much appreciated. And we're getting some good reviews still. Been doing this for some time now and met loads and loads of age group athletes from all across the world, as you've probably listened. And it's great to meet them and to hear the stories. And I hope that people who are listening to this are inspired, and because everybody's different, they've all got their issues that they've come through, and they've just managed to hit their targets. Always learning as well from these guys and girls, and it's really nice. So I hope you enjoy it. Obviously, if it's your first time here, welcome. If you've tuned in over and over again, thank you. Much appreciated. And if I could just ask, wherever you listen, if you could leave a review and a rating, so you can email us and I'll give you all the details at the end of the show. But let's get into this episode. And on this episode, we're going to speak to a lady who pretty much is mountain biking dominant. She had a varied background growing up as a kid, and she always wanted to move to the lakes, so that's what she did. And now she runs South Lake Fitness and South Lake Cycling. And that lady is Ren Brennan. And she offers a mix of fitness classes, personal training, and mountain bike tuition and guiding. She also does some Nordic walking as well. And that's all in the Lake District. And she's got a website, and I'll put that on at the end of the pod. But Ren competes for GB. And she's got over 22 years of experience teaching sport and fitness. And before that, she was a teacher, PE teacher. And she's just got a passion, one for the lakes and also for fitness and cycling. And she's turned that passion into a business. So that's pretty cool. So we hear all about that. We hear how she started off biking and then moved into duathlons and triathlons. I hope you enjoy Ren's varied background. That's coming up. So we've just got back from Lanzarote. We had 12 days over there at a place that we always go to. And if anybody goes over to our YouTube channel and watches our videos on there, you'll see that we usually stop in a complex in a townhouse, which is literally minutes away from a gym that's probably about 4 year old now, I think, 4 or 5 year old, with a fantastic gymnasium and swimming pool. And we pretty much worked out that it's quite a cheap way to do a bit of a holiday stroke training in warm weather at this time of the year. And I believe it's quite a hidden gem. I mean, everybody's heard of La Santa over in Lanzarote, and that's where the majority of the triathletes go and train. And there is a few others around the island. But this little port, and it is tiny, it's got a harbour that stores all the sailboats and some fantastic restaurants and pubs, and but very, very small. And it's growing year on year, so I don't think it'll stay small for very long. We do believe it's a hidden gem, and it's worth checking out if you haven't already, and that's called Porto Calero. Not that I want to flood it with triathletes this time of year, but I think it's worth mentioning and giving that little town some support. So we've just come back from there, loved it. The weather was incredibly hot, 27 degrees at some days, even at this time of the year. And but it is quite a windy island, and we did have some really windy days, especially the first couple. But so check it out. I know that other islands are available for cycling and obviously triathlon, but we found Lanzarote, we found this little gem, and we love it. So yeah, check that one out. So plenty of training done, no running still injured, but plenty of swimming, got the swimming back up to speed, and we took a bike over, took Mrs. C's bike over, as we've probably mentioned before, and we can both use that. And yeah, had a great time. But now we're back in Blighty. It was really wet the first couple of days that we got back, but it's been quite sunny since. And the temperatures, you know, for end of February are pretty decent, so we're doing all right. What else? Yeah, we've just bought an electric pump for our bike when we're out. I did plan on getting one before we went away, but I never got round to it. And I came across this little pump from a YouTube video by Alex Dowsett, the professional cyclist and time trialist. And he'd mentioned that he'd got one, and he showed us a video of it. And I thought, oh, that might be a useful bit of kit, rather than lugging a pump round and some CO2 canisters. You just literally charge it up, take it with you, and it does enough for two tyres to about PSI 100. I've not tested that value, so it's just what the manufacturers say. So we got it the other day, and as it happened, Mrs. C's bike that we took over needed unpacking, so I used it to pump up the tyres, and I've got to say, it's pretty impressive, and it's so small. It's literally, you'd put it in your back pocket and you wouldn't even know you've got it. So if anybody else has used it or got one, just DM us and tell us what you think about it. I did put a post up on Instagram, but yeah, just let us know what you think. Not really been listening to a lot of podcasts, if I'm honest. That'll start to pick up when I get back to work, which is probably next week now. So I've got no recommendations at the moment, but I have been watching a bit of cycling because it's starting to pick up, the road cycling. Watched the tour of the Algarve, tour of the UAE, and the one day classics have started already. They were on Saturday and Sunday, so yeah, plenty of cycling to be watching, and caught up with, there was a World Cup triathlon over in New Zealand, and I caught up with that as well. Hayden Wild was the biggest name. Obviously, you would think he would race there, being his home venue. And he didn't win, which was a surprise. He came second to an Australian. But early on in the season, isn't it? Yeah, so they were good. Good to watch. Nice to get a bit of triathlon back on the box. And over the weekend, I noticed that the World Triathlon Federation had put on the Winter World Championships at Pregioletto in Sestriere. And they were doing duathlons. Not sure what that's all about, to be honest. I think it's probably run, bike, ski. But yeah, looked interesting. Not sure how many Brits have gone over there. I'd love to get somebody on who was into that side of the sport to tell us all about it and yeah, educate me a bit more. But yeah, looked good. If you were there and you were out skiing and doing the duathlon, give us a DM and come on the pod and share your story. We've never had anybody who's done a winter event before, so that would be a first for us. Would much appreciate it. So if you know anybody who does that sort of thing, get in touch and tell them to get in touch. Cheers. And we're still continuing with our AMP Next Gen spin-off. We're down to two athletes now because Jerry's done his race a week last Sunday, and so he's dropped out. He's gone away on holiday to Canada skiing on a deserved break, and he's not sure whether he's qualified yet. He's got a percentage, but he just needs to see what happens in the next race or so to decide whether he's going to race the final of the three races for that particular European Championships. So yeah, so Jerry's having a rest, but Daniela and Harry are still hard at it. Danny's just come back from Spain, where she's been travelling around. If you've been listening to it, you know that she's not been very well, and a training, as you could expect, travelling around in a van in Spain has been hit and miss. But she's home now, so she said she's going to get her head down and get some good training done. So we'll look forward to hearing about that. And we'll get some videos up on YouTube of her down at the track, no doubt, just like we did with Jerry. And Harry, yeah, Harry's been busy over the last week. Still training hard, and he's trying to get into university at the moment as well. So that's taking quite a bit of his time up. So we've got a couple of videos about that on YouTube as well, if you want to get across there and have a look at them. So, yeah, please do support those guys. And, yeah, follow the videos and listen to the podcast. And, yeah, give them some encouragement throughout this process for them trying to qualify for age group. And that's about it for now. So we shall now get to the main event. And I hope you enjoy Ren's story. She's a lovely lady. I had a great chat with her. And we shall see you on the other side. Thank you for coming on to the podcast. And if you'd just like to introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm Ranelle Brennan.
Hi, Ranelle. Thank you again for coming on the podcast. If you'd like to tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I've been doing cross triathlon since 2015, 2016. I was seriously injured in 2013, told I might never run again. And I thought, well, I'm from a mountain bike background and sort of, and running background, I suppose. And I thought, well, you can't always just ride your bike in the winter when it's cold and wet. So I thought, well, there's a triathlon, and the local town had set up a triathlon club. So I joined them to basically, you know, get some swimming time in and sort of self-taught front crawl in 2015. My husband entered me into my first triathlon in Coniston, and it was a sort of on-road, off-road one. Well, I think it was off, but anyway, that got cancelled. Yeah. Due to the cost, I think, of paying to stop the ferry swimming, you know, ferrying across Coniston. So we entered me one called the Buttermere Triathlon, which is a road one, but the swims in Buttermere, the bike ride's pretty severe. You go over Honister Pass and a couple of passes, and then it is a trail run. And actually, I did that for a couple of years, but unfortunately, that's one stopped as well because there was problems with the. They talked about swimming in the lake, but then the landowner and parking. I think it was just poor. I've forgotten the name of high train events. They do fantastic. They do cross triathlons and triathlons and ultra runs. So I entered that one, and then. With Alverstone Tri Club, somebody said to me, did you know there's such thing as cross triathlon? I said, I haven't got a clue. What's that? And he said, oh, there's a company called Xterra. So, but it was in 2015 down, really down south. And it was the last time Xterra was in England. And then Xterra came back. Yeah, it was 8 years later, wasn't it? Because it's 2023 that it came back to Weston Park.
Yeah.
Cranley, that was it. So I did that race in my age group and actually podiumed, and can't remember the name of the girl who came first, but she got the World Cup thing to go to Maui, and I got the roll down, and it was one of those things where it was like, this was August in 2015. I was teaching at the time. But I was having a really, basically, work was awful. And some little voice inside me said, right, you only get one chance in life. Because we had said, oh, I'll qualify again next year and do it again next year. And I just thought, no, I'm going to go for it. Obviously, I'd only been doing triathlon not for long. And an ISA came to thing. So I cashed in the ISA, and my husband and I went to Maui. I got a week off work. School honored me for a week, like unpaid. So literally I did the race on the Sunday morning, was flying back on the Sunday afternoon, and went out and did that, and actually was runner-up in my age group. Okay. it was on the old tough course, where basically I just remember there was crashing waves, so it's probably in my advantage for not being a good swimmer, because basically you just had to battle through the waves, and then the mountain biking was my strength. And it was the old tough course. It was one lap, really big hill, loads of mud, and then like a run. And then from there, a friend said, oh, you can do Xterra and they're abroad. So my second race was 2016. It was in the Easter holidays and it was affordable. So I went to Malta, bumped into a girl that's now a really lifelong friend called Jo Pitten. And she said, oh, do you know that you can do age group cross triathlon? I said, I haven't got a clue that there's GB age group triathlon. So I took my, now obviously because I had my Malta triathlon time, I entered that, and that's how I got into cross triathlon. But I didn't really, it was the all the training I did for the world was basically, my husband's a lot stronger biker than me, so he just used to, he used to say, right, we're going out biking and just sit with me for as long as you can. And anything else was just, you know, just did what I did.
A bit about growing up and what you did.
I like sport. And this isn't meant to be getting your violins out. I suppose I threw myself into sport because I wasn't really happy in school. Yeah, I was bullied because I was different. I was a little tomboy. But I suppose I was also stubborn and determined because I did what I wanted to do. I didn't go with the crowd. But also being 54, I was of that era as well where, you know, sort of there were still opinions that girls shouldn't do, you know, running athletics and this, that and the other. So I was just, average, probably a bit above average, but I had to work really hard for everything I did.
What did you do?
Up till about 11, you know, I just did stuff. But when I was in, when I was in secondary school, I liked like the cross country running. I remember going to a race that was a trial. I really wanted to try and get into the county team. I remember doing a cross country race that was also for the trials, and I managed to beat a girl just because she probably had a bad day, that was already selected. So I got selected for the county. So I did some cross country running, did gymnastics, netball. I wasn't in the in crowd, but I took the only place left on the netball team. So they all ganged up against me, but I carried on. I was in the netball team. Yeah, I didn't get into cycling, I suppose, till blimey, university. No, 2000, bought my first road bike. So actually, no, now I remember. Yeah, I did. What did I do? I got into the outdoors. So I just did jack of all trades, I suppose, through school till 18. And because I didn't enjoy school, I worked really hard. So I got good grades because basically I just studied hard because I didn't fit in, and hadn't got a clue what I wanted to do. So I knew I loved sport, and I actually wanted to design sports equipment for disabled people, but I wasn't very good at physics. So that didn't work. And I remember being told, oh, you can't go to university to do a sports degree because, you know, you're too bright, you should try something else. But anyway, yeah, I went to university and did sports science at Loughborough. And then I suppose that's where I got into, got into the outdoors, because my brother did whitewater kayaking. So I thought, I'll try that. I tried, joined the whitewater kayaking club. They took us a trip to the Lake District, and I just thought, right, this is where I'm going to live, when I was like 19, and I managed it in 2000. So when I turned 30, I bought a mountain bike. So I did some mountain biking, I think, with sort of like the university club, but it was very much, you know, in its infancy. And then I got into climbing when I left university, because I got my first teaching job in Birmingham, and there was a big climbing scene with the teachers. There was a climbing wall. So I did whitewater kayaking and I did climbing. But so my first boyfriend was a paddler, and that, I suppose, was a life-changing event. All over Europe, you know, as you do, we through university, you know, sort of on a budget shoestring with a minibus, we kayaked in Europe. I went down my guiding qualifications to them training qualifications, and basically 1992 in July we were paddling, doing, it's called the Imps Gorge. It's amazing. It's a kilometer down into the gorge, and the water level was really high, and I missed a portage, is where basically it's too dangerous and you've got to carry around, but you paddle up to it, but there was a waterfall to get there. Went over the bit you're meant to walk around. It was like, so imagine a natural weir with a 5 to 10 meter tow back, and I went broadside and basically couldn't get out, and my friends I was paddling with watched me drown basically. But then I surfaced and popped up, and they turned me over and, you know, came back to. And as you do when you're sort of like only 22, you don't realize you had secondary drowning. The only way to get me out was down the river, so I had to carry on paddling. And then the reason why I've mentioned that is because I think I do struggle with my swimming and sometimes have panic attacks, and I think that maybe that might be why. And also, I suffer, well, it's not a thing. I have really bad Raynaud's, so I get cold water shock really quite easily. My swimming part of the triathlon is the cold water. I just suffer really badly with the cold water. I mean, I've tried cold water dipping and think I basically I just get on with it. So I did the kayaking. I carried on, and then it just got to the point where I met my husband, who we've been together for 20 years. Just the trouble with whitewater kayaking is you've got to rely on other people, and basically, I didn't have any. I suppose I did have whatever you call it now, post-traumatic stress syndrome. So I carried on kayaking. Then one day I just couldn't. I just in like the headspace. I just because I was qualified to kayak with people at grade three, grade four, so it's quite rough. I just thought, if they go in, I don't know them. I'm quite small. I come to a point where I didn't want to paddle with people. I didn't know how, if I couldn't paddle with people I didn't know, it was like, I've got to rescue you, but you could cause me to drown. So things naturally moved on. I'd got into met my husband, and he didn't kayak. He mountain biked. I'd done some mountain biking because I'd cycled toured around with ex-boyfriend. I'd cycled toured around New Zealand, and we'd cycled across Malawi in our years off, as you do. And then just because, I came up to the Lake District, and climbing just sort of dwindled because I just scared myself doing traditional climbing. It wasn't, I like being at the other end of the rope, and my hands just got too cold. And then paddling in the winter, just my hat, it just didn't work. Joined Barrow Central Wheelers Cycling Club. So I did some road cycling, and they took me to the National 50-mile time trial. I'd never done one before. I just did it on a borrowed road bike. That didn't go too well. I found that very hard. I puked up over the photographer, and then joined a local bike shop that did mountain biking, and never really went look back. So then met my husband Stephen, and we did some. I got into mountain biking. I did the Mountain Biking National Series, so we did that, and then we did. I did a. The thing back then was 2004, five, six. The Meridas, sort of like 100 Ks, were really big. So me and my husband, we did 100 K mountain bike rides, and I just did it on a big old heavy mountain bike and came third in my category. Asked John Lloyd, who ran Meridas then, and he sponsored me, so we did that. We did Trans Wales in 2006, which was a 7-day mountain bike ride across England. I mean, sorry, across Wales on private land. I mean, it's the best thing we ever did, private land, because he was a farmer, he knew all the farmers. I mean, it just, and we were camping. Did Trans Scotland the year after that in 2007, and then I think it sort of folded because the weather wasn't reliable. So people, it's a bit like sporties, things come and go in like waves. And then, so I hadn't been running for ages, and then we took up running again. Jump for, so we just dabbled in whatever my husband wanted to do. I just sort of like tagged along. I remember he entered me into a race. I thought it was 13K, and apparently it was 13 miles. So that's how I got into my first half marathon, because I rocked up thinking I was doing like what, 9 miles. And we did like the trail, Lakeland Trail Series. And then my husband decided he wanted to enter a ma oh, we did an ultra. I can see there in 2013, actually. By High Terrains, they did that. So that was the Kielder 50K Ultra. I see that because my husband won his category, so I can, he's got his thing on the wall. And then he said, oh, let's do a marathon. So he entered me into Scafell Pike Marathon. I thought, well, if you're going to do one, you might as well do the toughest.
Do an easy one then.
Yeah, and I injured my foot. I might have finished the marathon actually when it was slightly broken, but yeah, that caused me a lot of issues with my foot. So basically, especially said I might never run again. And I just thought, well, no, I'm not listening to you. And just didn't run for at least 2 years. And that's when took up triathlon in 2015. So we lived in the lakes and anything mountain biking went. Meanwhile, I was a PE teacher, took kids out, got my qualifications, became a qualified mountain bike guide. And then jacked in teaching in 2016.
Yeah.
And obviously then triathlon had taken off and I'd qualified for the World Championships in 2016. And they were in the Snowy Mountains, which just happened to be where a great friend of ours lived, because in 2012, he rocked up to the night biking that we did in Ambleside one winter's night. His wife was doing some lecturing for 6 months. He was on a sabbatical and I was practicing for my mountain bike guiding. So I took him mountain biking all winter for like 6 months, you know, to like practice. And so then when I had the chance, I went and stayed with them for 6 weeks near Melbourne. They took me to the race that was the World Champs.
Yeah.
And then I sort of on and off, well, I've been in age groups since then. When they've been in Australia again, I haven't been able to go for financial. And the one thing with age group is it is really expensive. Sometimes
it is.
You need the money or the sponsorship, you know, and there's to do it. So
just going back to age group then, how did you find out about it?
So my really good friend, Joanne Wilson-Pitten, and we just happened to bump into each other on the mountain bike course on a recce day and we just hit it off, and she said, did you know about age group? And I went, no. So she told me about age group, and that, so basically, how did I find out about age group? Word of mouth.
Yeah.
And then from there, she, so I, with my Malta time, I entered age group GB Europeans that were in Switzerland in 2016, 2017.
Right.
So then I was in the system.
Somebody else has said, Mick, who I was on the episode, a few episodes back, he said that once you're in the system, then it's a lot easier to stay in than try and find in races, as we spoke about earlier, to go.
Yeah, for you to find, I mean, I suppose I, at the end of the day, do an Xterra, and that's obviously a hot, yeah, they're harder than the, they're longer.
Yeah.
Harder than the age group. Like Ibiza Worlds this year, that was a good mountain bike technical course, but without being shot in the foot, generally, most of the age group races I've done, the mountain biking was a lot tamer than the Xterras.
Mm-hmm.
But I've chosen X, but then even in Xterra, some are tougher than others.
Sure. Well, you get that in all courses though, don't you? It doesn't really matter what you're racing. Some courses are tougher than others. So you found out about age group and you qualified, you put your time in, because it's a different way of qualifying, isn't it? You don't have to qualify in races like the sprint and the standard distances for standard triathlons.
No, well, I put my race in, but I won my race in Malta. Use my Malta race, but because I won my age group, I didn't have to have a percentage against.
Okay, yeah, got you. You were there as a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So that was good and lucky, I suppose.
No, you earned it.
Yeah, and then I've gone on to, I have podiumed in Europeans and Worlds.
Where's been your favourite race?
I love the Worlds, and well, for age group, to be Romania, basically, because I went out there, I think that was my first one, and I went out on my own and got very lost in the forest and just became really good friends with the guy who was Mr. Cross Triathlon in Romania. Sadly, he passed away, Peter passed away 2 years ago. Or will it be 3 years ago now? But we just became great mates. But it was just, I went out there. One, it was affordable. But two, everyone was so friendly.
Yeah, it was a really nice place, wasn't it?
And I've got to say it's my favourite place, because in 2022, I won the Worlds out there. So it was just one of those things. Everything worked everything worked to my favor on the day. But no, my coach says that I have to own it. I performed really, really well.
Yeah, well done. 100%. You've worked hard for it. You know, not just for that race, but if you think about what you've done leading up to that point, right the way from your background, right the way growing up and everything else, it all counts. It's all ingrained in you. You know what I mean? So yeah, you've got to embrace it and own it, like your coach said.
It, as you say, it is expensive. My being self-employed, my business was more lucrative before COVID. I mean, a lot of people, you know, COVID just sent a lot of things into array. So, you know, I still am doing them. Luckily, last year, you know, to Molvino, the World Championships, I couldn't afford to go. But basically, a neighbour is in a business, data law, and I basically just said to him, I said, can you sponsor me some money? So he gave me £1,000 to help towards going to the Worlds last year, which seems a lot, but the race entry is £500. And when I went to, obviously I'd left teaching, when I left teaching in 2016 and I wanted to go to the Worlds, obviously I had to raise the funds. So I did some things in the village. I did some sales online, you know, found old kit, but I did like a Jacob's joint. I did some stuff in the village, basically, just saying, you know, I want to go to the world in 2016, the World Championships. It was my first one. And my mum pitched in. And obviously, I was going out. So, apart from the flight, it was free accommodation. And they took me there as part of their holiday because it was in the Snowy Mountains. So, I shared their accommodation. But yes, off the top of my head, I can't remember, but I did a raffle and I did some stuff in the village to earn my money to get there.
Well, whatever works and whatever finances it, that's the thing. Because, like you rightly said, it isn't cheap.
I mentioned in tooth that back, you know, I got my mountain biking guiding qualification. I had another plan. I was leaving teaching. It wasn't really the children, it was politics. It was just it interfered and I'd had enough. I'd been, yeah, there's no, you know what, actually, I'm not going to not shy away from it because, you know, 5, 6 years ago, it might have been poo-pooed, but everyone talks about mental health now and it's not to be frowned on. But triathlon was the only thing that was saving me in 2015. My doctor said, actually, if I wasn't training, I probably would have realized I was really stressed and ill before, but she said I was facing work like a training program. And training with Alverstone Tri Club was literally the only thing that was holding me together. Because everything else was just awful. And one Saturday morning I was swimming in a lane with friends and I literally just burst into tears and just said to my friend Di Hartley, who came to change room with me, I said, nobody likes me. Why do people want to swim with me in the lane? And she said, Ren, I think this is bigger than this. And I actually went to see my doctor and I was signed off from work for stress. I can't remember. I think it's like 1 week or 2 weeks. And then from there, we just like realized, yeah, something needed to change. So whilst I was still teaching, it was more stressful. I retrained as a personal trainer. Luckily, you know, I'd had a sports science background, so the theory side of it was fine. So I retrained. So when I resigned, I had plan B. Unfortunately, I handed in my notice on the 1st of April 2016, and my husband got made redundant on the 1st of May 2016. The company went bust, so he didn't get redundancy, but you know, we managed through.
It's
And
amazing, isn't it? What you can actually get through when you have to. And it's also amazing that these things always like come together, don't they? It's as if somebody's telling you that you actually, you know, enough is enough. You've got to change. Things have got to change.
South Lakes Fitness, and alongside it, because I had my mountain bike guiding qualification, I set up my mountain bike guiding South Lake Cycling. Well, it was actually called Lake District Mountain Bike Guiding, but it lapsed and somebody nicked the name. So I just, yeah, I did that. So it was very much the mountain bike guiding was a bit of a back burner. It took off in 2019. But up till then, you know, I was personally training and started running classes. The first class I started was a boot camp that, you know, I did on a field. We did it through the winter. I just bought some big spotlights, and then I do something called kettlercise now, which is obviously a full body workout with a kettlebell, and just did my Pilates qualification more for more senior people. I kept one going on a Monday online. And then I went with where it went. And ironically, actually, 2018 till 2020, before COVID and things changed with schools, somebody who came to my class, her husband was the deputy head at a local primary school, knew I was an ex-PE teacher. And so I actually ended up going into two or three primary schools, I suppose you'd say, as a PE consultant, and actually working in some afternoons and doing gymnastics with the primary school children, and absolutely loved it. And as I always said, from the beginning, that actually secondary school PE teachers are wasted. They need to be in, if we want a nation of better coordinated body management children, the expertise need to be in the primary school, because you need to get children need to develop that body awareness and strength, etc., when they are 5 to 11, almost at secondary school. It's not too, well, is it too late? Probably for some, you know, sort of body awareness and body management, balance, stability, all that type of stuff, you know, should be done, you know, sort of when you're little. And so that's what I did in primary schools. And then COVID was a difficult time. A lot of primary schools, money as well. When they came out of COVID, they didn't have help in schools. So I just, the personal training sort of goes up and down. And then, you know, my classes are sort of like the mainstay. And in the better weather, did the mountain biking. And then 2019, I thought, right, well, what to do? I offered women's, probably can't call it just women's only mountain bike courses now, but I called it ladies. You know,
No,
I had all sorts of,
I think there are, aren't there? You know what I mean? It's actually on Zwift today. My wife, she was going to go on Zwift, and we were looking at the various grades of A, B, C, D, and E. And she said, "Oh, well, I can't sign into E," I think it was. And then we looked at it, and E is on Zwift, even. It's a women's only group. So why can't you? If Zwift are doing it, you can do it.
So I sort of, I mean, as you say, I joined a local business group. I think I just learned on the job, as a friend said, fake it till you make it. Just learned with, like, you know, my business head, and then hit upon, basically found that I sometimes called it off-road biking as well. It literally wasn't just mountain bicycles. It was women, it was people, where I seem to be forte from, maybe because, you know, I remember mountain biking. It didn't come naturally to me. My husband could just like jump. It took me a year to learn to like lift my front wheel off a pavement, you know, and he sent me on, he signed me up for a course and then signed me up for the Mega Avalanche. I mean, we're talking now 2007 or 2008. We literally moved house. We'd saved up for a settee. He blew the settee money on a down on a sort of enduro bike for me, and then said, oh, we're going to the Mega Avalanche, so he said you better learn to ride this bike. So I went up to Glentress and learned how to ride a mountain bike, and then that's how I got into the coaching side of it. But I think because it didn't come naturally to me, and you know, I had to learn, I had to work really hard at it. Put myself down, and I always say to people, there's somebody else out there that can do it better. And people say, no, Ren, we come to you for you. But maybe it's that, because I can understand how hard it is. And looking back, actually, mountain biking, when life was going tough at work, mountain biking, and I'm not really, you know, I might seem it, but a very, very underconfident person from being pushed, you know, put down for so long. Because I thought I can do this on the mountain bike. I thought, you know, mountain biking isn't just a bike for me. It is my life. It's my soul. It's like when I need picking up, I'm on the bike, you know, give me a bike, give me a track, give me the outdoors, give me Scotland, or, you know, and it was that I thought, right. Ladies want this, but they don't always have confidence. And I'm not saying some husbands are great at teaching wise, but the women that wanted to do it in a group where no question was stupid, or, you know, right back to the basics.
And they didn't, there's no men there either as well for them to feel. It, and it might not be down to the men, it just might be how they feel. They feel a lot
yeah, and
it, group of women than they do, you know what I mean, than the
yeah,
women.
And that doesn't always, and you see, I that's never applied to me. I've only ever ridden with, I've only ever mountain biking with men. When, you know, when I did my night biking on a Tuesday, it was just me and the blokes, you know.
Well, I
it's
guess
just so sort of,
back then, you know, there wasn't very many women riding mountain bikes like you were anyway, was there, to be
yeah,
fair?
there's, oh, it's really person, whatever it, yeah, it's
As cycling has
just,
as a whole, hasn't it? Cycling's just gone nuts, you know.
And women in mountain biking, you know, it's mushroomed. That's what I did, you know. So,
yeah.
And then obviously I offered intermediate courses, and then word gets round, and guided people in the lakes. But it's very competitive because, you know, a mile down the road there's a bike shop and they've got their own mountain bike guides. And then I did my mountain bike coaching. So the guiding, I did my British Cycling mountain bike coaching as well, and then obviously word got round and I was in cross triathlon. And actually I was trying to work it out, was it 2018 or 2019, made some really good friends with girls out in Romania, and four of them or three of them came up here, stayed in my house, and I actually, you know, did some skills with them, which made me think, well, I can do some skills. And then word of mouth, I suppose. My great success last year was, there's a lady in the age group, I think she might be 1 year or 2 years above me, had, you know, she's a got into mountain biking, she lives locally, and she came to me for some like one-to-one mountain bike coaching, and it really helped her. And she walked away with two silvers in Ibiza, I think, and then no you could yes I think one silver one anyway she podiumed in Ibiza, sorry Catherine, I need, and then she again podiumed in the latest Europeans, I think this year, that was in Lake Garda. So
cool.
Yeah, have you, it's
and was
yeah,
that age
so
group or was that Xterra?
No, that was age group, that was age group GB.
Yeah.
The world was in Ibiza in May this year,
yeah.
And then sort of January, February, March I'd done some one-to-one with Kath Finn on her mountain bike skills, because she was in Bilbao in September and realized that she needed some help. So it was, yeah. So the back end of 2022, beginning of 2023, we did some one-to-one stuff, so that, you know, when she went next time, she was rocking the mountain biking, and it moved her up, and she podiumed.
And I guess there aren't that many resources around for that type of training and skills that you'll be able to provide either.
No, I mean, there's plenty of mountain bike coaches, you know, mountain bike guides. And so I'm not qualified in the race, you know, working towards, you know, doing a race coach. So I'm not a triathlete. I'm not a triathlon coach, but I suppose you can take your, if you've raced yourself for a while, you can take the race element and put it into your mountain bike coaching when you're doing one-to-one with your British Cycling mountain bike qualification.
That's pretty much what I'm getting at. There isn't, you know, you've actually been there and done it and experienced it, got the T-shirt, got the medal. You know what it's all about. You know what it takes. And that's what I'm saying. There might be all these other coaches out there, but they haven't experienced, I'm not saying none of them have, but the majority won't have experienced and had the background that you've got, and it'll be able to provide that expertise for that environment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, there isn't many. I'll just own it.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should own it, because you know, it's a big thing, and it would probably be a lot more sought after than you would probably realize if
Yeah, well, I'm
people
also,
are aware.
yeah, I haven't got the time with my own business. I mean, I've being a triathlon coach, obviously I've got running qualification, and I am working towards, I can't remember the initials, but there is a mountain bike. There's a different thing from British Cycling that I'm doing like the mountain. I passed all the theory, but I haven't passed the haven't done the crossover of the two, British Cycling and the other organization. And then I was going to do the qualification, and then it all got cancelled with COVID, and then it's finding the time. I don't becoming a triathlon coach, you've got to do the swimming element as well. And to be honest, I haven't got the time to commit to do the hours on a Saturday because I work at the weekend. To You've got to do so many hours with a club, I think, to get your level two triathlon coach. And at the moment, I'm not ready to, with my personal training and training people in strength training. And I work with people cycling. I've done strength training with people for cycling, strength training with people for running from my personal training background. I don't think, I'm not ready to train people for triathlon.
So, do you want to just tell us what the your website is, and people can have a look at it and see what you're all about?
Yeah, so I've got two websites. It's South Lakes Cycling and South Lakes Fitness. I'm in the South Lakes, hence the name. If you're looking on a map, and you've got the M6 and you've got Kendal, and you go Never Eat Shredded Wheat, you go west, you've got Ulverston, and so I suppose the South Lakes is the bottom half, sort of Ambleside, Hawkshead, Coniston, right over to our secret favourite place, the Duddon Valley. And then obviously you've got the North Lakes, but I mean the lakes is there's only what 15 miles between Ambleside and Keswick.
But I
Um,
think
and I'm in Grisdale. I'm
you need Grisdale
very near
for
up. Yeah, I'm very near. I'm about 3 miles from Hawkshead. About half an hour from Kendal. And literally, one day maybe I will do the, because I am in the perfect place to train for all triathlon. We've got the choice of two lakes. As a crow flies, 3 miles away, but as you're driving or cycling, sort of like half an hour away, Coniston, Windermere, we've got all the trails for running that you could ever want, and all the mountain bike tracks you could ever want. And so why aren't there triathlons in the Lake District?
Well, you need to get onto you're part of the club there.
It is, but you can't. It's you. Well, even the standard tri stop, it's the cost of holding a triathlon in Coniston. You've got to pay so much money to not have the ferry run.
And I think that's the thing with a lot of places. I was saying this the other day to the last guy I'd interviewed for the podcast, one of our local, although it's near Nottingham, Clumber Park. It was a duathlon event, and it was supposed to be running the standard qualifier for next year. That's been cancelled, for the first time ever,
And why is that? Is that due to
just
rising
because
costs?
financial. Financial.
I mean, I'm no expert, but I think what's happening is before COVID, a lot of people used to enter lots of racing in advance. The cost of living has gone up. I'll just get Brexit in there because I'm sure
Something
that's
to do with
somewhere
it.
to do with it. The price of insurance, I think running events must be a lot, and people now are events like 6 months down the line, they're doing it much closer to the time. So the poor race organisers have to have this decision: am I going to get race entries? Am I not? So they're going to pull the plug because they haven't got enough entrants to make it financially viable. And then, seeing as it's
And entries
seeing
have
as,
gone up,
yeah, entries.
entry fees have like doubled.
But then for the worst thing for cross triathlon and cross duathlon and anything off road, I think Kildare duathlon is going to struggle. And I'm not political, but Doug's put this on, I think, on the X Tri Hub as well, that basically Forestry England now are changing, and they're wanting to charge you if you run a festival or an event in the forest. They want 20% of your income from that festival or event. So already two enduro races happen in England because they've moved to Scotland because of the cost. He put up a thing, basically there's a petition about it. There's I think Kildare Duathlon might be pulled because of that. I know two companies that work in the forestry that are going to go bust and not be mountain bike guides anymore because 20%. And it's going to have a massive, well, I think it already is having, it's going to have a massive knock-on effect for any races that want to be held on forestry commission land, the Forestry England Grisdale Forest. And I'm in the process now of having to apply for a permit, which, you know, I do agree with, because you have to have landowners' permission to operate on their land. You know, obviously, if you're just going out with Joe Bloggs. But yes, it's, I think it's going to be harder for people to organise events in the forest than it was already.
Yeah, sad, sad. So that leads us then, I think we've pretty much covered everything from a personal point of view, unless there's anything else you'd like to add.
No, if, I mean, the thing about cross triathlon is it's just, it really is, it is so friendly. There is more to the mountain biking than just being fit on a road bike. You do need some, well, it helps to have some mountain bike skills. The swimming and the running is quite transferable. But yeah, but it's doable for anyone, isn't it? Sort of, you don't, we're not, I won't upset anybody, but we're not so, I think some road triathletes, are they, are you quite into your gear?
Yeah, I am. I am, yeah.
Quite a lot of people, so I don't think we're so gearish on gears and wattage, and
no,
well, I've done all,
yeah,
I don't train with, well, I don't own a power meter because they're really expensive, and I prefer to have it on a dropper post. I don't train with a heart rate monitor. I just always done it by feel. I've got a watch, you know, a nice Garmin watch. I probably should wear a heart rate monitor, but I've got a, anyway, I can't wear a, I've got a rib that's, I've got a deformed rib that sticks out. So when I wear a heart rate monitor and I'm moving around, it actually go, it says I'm dead because it doesn't record. So
yeah,
not
I
really
think
good.
You're right.
So to get into cross triathlon, as much as you want to spend, as long as you've got possible working, hardtail, you've got beg, borrowed, or whatever wetsuit, and you've got a pair of running shoes, your biggest expense if you get into age group is having to wear their tri-suit. But I've known people, I mean, did I have to borrow one? I've known people turn up, I borrowed one, or somebody had to borrow one. Anyway, yeah, when you go flying and your luggage gets lost, I've now learned to make sure I take my tri-suit in my hand luggage, because I've done a race where, yeah, basically they didn't, my bike never turned up, and then it turned up broken. That was in Pontevedra in 2018, I think. But as you say, everything happens for a reason. And at that time, rate, so if you want to get into cross triathlon, Doug Hall and Nicole, Yvette Walters, they're married. Doug Hall is Mr. X Terra for Europe and the other bits, and he's the one behind getting Western Park on the map. Basically, he, I won't say it'll be other people, but yeah, he's majorly responsible for getting X Terra back to England. They were both racing at elite level back in 2018. I'd met them and knew them from 2016. And that's what the cross tri family's like. So basically, I was in the middle of Spain, not knowing anyone, just put on the cast. My bike is broken. I need a disc. It's Easter. So all the bike shops in Pontevedra, even though it's a world championships, are shut. I can't race because I haven't got a disc. And, Doug hid a spare, does carry the spare disc because they were doing a year's tour around Europe going to all the Xterra races, and he hid a disc for me under the car, and I went and got the disc, put it on my bike when I'd finished the race, gave them the disc back. And that's the family. Basically, you know, if you turn up and your wheel's broken, if somebody can, they'll lend you a wheel, or, you know, as I say, people have borrowed each other's tri suits because they've forgotten it, or so also as well with, if because a lot of people don't know, you know, if they want to do the off road, it be quite singular because there's not many people. But if you Google race off road, it's like it is a club. I think he's registered it with British Triathlon, right. So you can be, you can race with Race Off Road. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the X, I was going to say the other one, it's called X Tri X Hub. So TRI capital X HUB.
Anything about anything
and cross duathlon, cross triathlon is there on Facebook.
Well, people can get, if they're interested, they can get in touch there and see what it's all about if they don't know. And
yeah, well, if they're not, if people are with the podcast, you know, my they can just message me either at South Lakes Fitness or South Lakes Cycling, or just my own Ranel Brennan, mm-hmm. and I'll point them in the right direction.
Thank you very much. Finally, then, we've got a few quick fire questions.
All right, go on then.
The first one is, what's your favourite bit of kit?
My dropper post.
Dropper post, right. Just explain for those who don't know what a dropper post is and how it functions.
Basically, a saddle that pops up and down. So it, instead of your seat being tight the whole time, you can press a magic button when it works and the saddle drops down. It's the best thing since sliced bread, especially as a guy. For when it gets steep and technical. So that's my favourite bit of kit, but it's probably not my favourite bit of kit for cross triathlon because you don't often use it in cross triathlon. But you asked me what my favourite bit of kit was. Yeah. If it gets steep or technical, you can just drop the post so that when you shift your weight, when you get really low on the bars, especially if you're little, the saddle doesn't get in the way. But from the guiding point of view, around the Lake District, there are loads of gates. So it's a game changer when you've got to get on and off your bike. It is also very good. I find it very useful in the race. You've got to get off and run because it's muddy, slippy or whatever. I always remember to saddle before I get off.
Yeah.
And then when you get on again, you don't have to like get the leg over.
Yeah.
But no, my favorite bit of kit is my mountain bike for cross triathlon. My favorite bit of kit is my bike.
We've never had a dropper seat before, a dropper post before. So that's new.
Hey.
What advice would you give anybody wanting to get into cross, duathlon, triathlon?
Join a local mountain bike or look at a local road bike club, because quite often they have people within that go out mountain biking.
Good point.
Mountain biking is, it's a bit like going into the supermarket and trying to buy a packet of cornflakes. There's just too many varieties, because you don't want, you know, you don't need to get in with the downhillers, enduro. You need to do mountain bike racing. You need the basic skills to be able to ride the course safely. You don't need to be able to lift your front wheel, bunny hop. Those things come in their time, but you just need the basics. Take your bike apart and put it back together again when you're flying.
What's a week of training look like now?
3 swims, 3 bikes, 3 runs, and 2 strength training sessions, but I wouldn't say you need to do that much.
Mm-hmm.
4 bike sessions probably.
Yeah.
And then of course, obviously the job I do.
Yeah.
My 4 kettle size sessions a week. I tend to coach those a lot more than do them. The biggest thing, if you're getting into it and you've never done it before, strength training, you can't just expect that you can swim, bike and run. You know, you need the strength training.
Yeah, 100%. Final question is, what are your short and your long-term goals?
Well, my short-term goal is I want to qualify for the Xterra World Championships this year, definitely.
So what race are you aiming for that?
So I'm going to Morocco in February.
Yeah.
And Malta in April.
They're Xterra.
So the thing is, though, my dream goal is to qualify for Molvino again, World Championships, because it's the last time it's going to be in Europe.
Okay.
It's not to be taken, It is not a race for the faint-hearted. It is tough, you know, sort of like biking. I think, you know, it's like over 1,000 meters of climbing, and you're already starting at 2,000, 3,000 meters. I can't, well, however high it is, it's £500 to enter, but it's the last time it's going to be in Europe for the next 3 years. So, but I love my racing as racing. So, never been to Morocco. It's the first time they've got it there. I'm going there. So, if I qualify, I qualify. My short-term goal is to go to my races and do the best I can. Long-term goal is to keep doing this for as long as I can and try and stay as best I can injury-free. And just be me and get people into it. And I would love to do, I would love to upskill, whatever you want to call it, people that want to get into cross triathlon or duathlon and want some help mountain biking, then, you know, I'd love to do it. Do I have a dream? Yeah, I do have a dream, thinking, why don't we hold a camp in the Lake District? Because, you know, there is the water, there is the water, there is the running trails, there is the biking. I've got the biking. I can cover the biking and probably cover the running and looking into coping as a guide for open water swimming. But within the cross triathlon world, there are enough people who to be able to do that and run the sessions. So run a cross triathlon, but it's, you know, people coming together for a weekend, not necessarily so I make a, you know, profit out of my business, but to get like-minded people together to do it, obviously cover the costs, and use skills within, you know, three, four, five people, you know, that have got the skills, you know, and then go off and ride so that you can have coaching or more expert people can go off on a ride. I mean, it should be doable.
Cool. Well, good luck with it all, and I hope you get that together, and I hope your races this year go as according to plan. So thank you ever so much for coming on, and we shall follow you and watch how you're doing your races as they unfold.
All right, cheers. Bye.
I do believe that Ren is the only other mountain biker that we've had on the pod. There are other athletes that do some mountain biking, but Ren specifically does this discipline. And yeah, great to hear. Great to see the other side of our sport, to be honest. The cross duathlons and the cross triathlons. Completely different dynamic. As I said earlier, I've looked into it myself. It's quite difficult to find races local and get into it, but I will keep pursuing that. And if you'd like to get into touch with Ren, she's got a website and it's South Lakes Fitness and Cycling. If you put that in your search engine, a website will come up and it tells you all about Ren and what she makes available in the lakes. And you can email her at ren@southlakescycling.co.uk or ren@southlakesfitness.co.uk. And she is also on Facebook, and she is on Instagram also. So check her out, see what she's up to, follow her, give her some support, like I say, about all the athletes that we have on here, and that would be great. So thank you once again for taking your time out, like I said earlier, listening to this pod. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you'd like to get in touch and come on the pod, please do. You can email us your story, just a brief story about growing up and what you did and how you found out about triathlon and get into age group. And you can email that at agegroupmultisportpodcast@gmail.com and we can get something sorted out, usually a Zoom call. We're also on Instagram at amp_1967. We put all our posts on there and we let you know when the next episode's due and going to drop. We're also on Facebook at AmpGB, Twitter at Age Group Multisport Podcast, and our YouTube channel is AmpGB, where we're putting more and more little videos on of all sorts of stuff. So yeah, check us out. And yeah, that's about it. So thank you. And don't forget, stay safe, keep training, and love the process.